Looking forward to having this chat with LNP Senator James McGrath. As an LNP Senator, he says his job is to fight for Queensland, to fight for our values of lower taxes, smaller government and greater freedom. Now, he's been around a while. He was elected to the Senate for Queensland in 2013, re-elected in 2016 and re-elected recently in 2022. But before all of that, between the years of 2002 and 2008, James had various roles with the Conservative Party in the United Kingdom. One of those roles was the Deputy Campaign Director for Boris Johnson's mayoral campaign. And I thought we would catch up with James this afternoon and have a talk to him about what it was like to work with Boris Johnson. Hello, Senator James McGrath, how are you?
I'm very good, and I hope you're good too.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to me this afternoon. I appreciate it. I know you're a busy man. You were, between 2002 and 2008, had the opportunity, obviously working in the UK in various roles. One of those roles was the Deputy Campaign Director for Boris Johnson and his mayoral campaign. Obviously, he won that. I wanted to ask you, firstly, can you tell us here in Australia, I mean, running for mayor in London, the mayor of London is a completely different job. Now, when I say it's a different job, it's a really important job, the mayor of London, because of the size of the population of London. Is that correct, James?
Oh, totally. It's actually, to run to be mayor of London, it's the third largest direct election in Western Europe after, I think, President of Poland and President of France. So it is a huge election. London is a Labour town. It's a left-wing town. And for a conservative to run and win an election in London is an amazing feat. And with Boris, we had someone, and there's a difference between what you call London Tories and Tories in the rest of the country, but Boris is a bit of a London Tory. He's a bit more socially liberal than probably traditional conservatives, but he had that breakthrough, and our job was to build up the machine, to get people out, to get out the vote, and make sure we had a plan for London, because London, my view is, it's the capital of the world. It was before they'd been given the Olympics, but it also has some very serious social issues, and we needed someone who was going to bring fresh thinking to what we need to do to fix up London.
What's Boris Johnson like as a person? What's Boris Johnson like as a person to work with?
He's one of those, he's an intellectual, and he's someone who loves the English language, and he loves showing off, and I mean that not in a nasty way, just showing off his knowledge. And I think we need to have more politicians in the world who aren't afraid to be intellectuals, who aren't afraid to think and love history. He's just, you'd almost love to have him as a teacher, because he just has that natural exuberance, that boisterous behaviour, you know, sort of like a human golden retriever. But having said that, he also can be quite shy. And sometimes you find with politicians, they have their public persona, and in private they can be different. Now Boris, what you saw on TV is what you got in private, but in private he did sometimes become a little bit more introspective, because he liked to think and he liked to ponder the words that he wanted to say. So I think that's something that is rare from modern day politicians.
I've heard him described by some that we speak with on a regular basis, Dr. Keith Suter. He said he was a wonderful campaigner. Is that a fair description?
Yes, because you want people to enjoy life, you know, the joy of life. And Boris, notice we're just talking about his first name. We're not talking about, say, you know, Kevin Rudd or Tony Abbott or something like that.
True.
It's Boris. We're using his first name. People can relate to him, so they just think they own him. So when you'd be out on the hustings with him, people just come up and just would want to have the selfies. They'd want to just touch him and talk to him. And it's very rare for a politician, says a politician, but he had an honesty rating, because he's always, you know, in a nice way, putting his foot in it and then having to apologise. And because, you know, the media would get outraged, he'd said something. And people love the fact that they thought and they believed and he was sort of telling the truth. I mean, once he said, if you drive a sports car, if you're a lady, you'll get nicer, you know, breasts. Caused outrage. yeah, things like that. And people just think he's just a bit of a larrikin. And that's important to to cut through. And the message when he was running for Mayor of London was about cutting down on crime. It was about lowering taxes. It was about improving our safety on public transport. Really simple, I call small C conservative ideals, and people loved it. They didn't want this left-wing craziness of Ken Livingstone, who was the existing mayor, who was, pro-IRA, pro-PLA, pro-every, bit of ism in the book. Boris was, middle England.
Take us inside a campaign as an advisor. I mean, it sounds like it's an incredibly interesting boiler room type job. What I mean by that is high pressure job. Do people like Boris Johnson listen to their advisors?
Sometimes. sometimes. To be fair to Boris, yes, he did. Because we had to strategize with him to make him be seen as a serious player, because he does have that wit and that, that sort of crazy hair and that boisterous behavior, as mentioned before. But yes, people will listen and will do listen. And sometimes if they don't listen, well, the judgment and that decision rests with the politician. And in any campaign room, we're on left or right of politics, it's not glamorous. So I don't want your listeners to think it's like, the West Wing or something like that. You work very long hours. You're actually not particularly well paid. You have poor personal hygiene. You've no social life. But you're in it because you really believe in something. You believe in that person. And it's the role of the candidate, to answer your question, to take the advice that you as a campaign advisor give to them, and they've got to work out how they dissipate it and how they take it forward. And Boris was more than happy to take the advice of the campaign team.
You have said there are some politicians who are lucky in life, and Boris is what I'd call a lucky politician. Are you, having said that, surprised that this has happened to him and happened so quickly?
What made him so appealing as a politician, what I've mentioned, the exuberance, the ability to cut through, also was one of his weaknesses.
Right.
And and that, I think, has caused him issues. Yes, he's very, very lucky. There's someone who, he was sacked from Michael Howard's Shadow Ministry for lying. He came back and was elected twice Mayor of London, then ran for Parliament again, ended up Foreign Secretary of all things. Then you had the Brexit vote, and Theresa May ended up as PM, and then he just kept on sailing through. And someone wrote that he's a bit like a greased piglet. If you're trying to catch a piglet in its grease, you've got no chance. That reality could never catch him. And I think it's caught up with him, it has caught up with him this week, that an appointment that he had made, knowing about this person's, those previous allegations of misconduct, has just, I hate saying the tipping point, but it was the tipping point of everyone just, right, we've had enough. So it was the final thing that just unleashed it all. And once you have a number of cabinet ministers resigning, I think it was almost 60 in total of the payroll vote, you can't stop that. And the luck ran out, to answer your question.
It did. Do you think he'll leave politics, stay in, or do you think we'll in maybe 12 months' time see the book from Boris Johnson?
Oh, the book will be out by Christmas. I guarantee that book will be out by Christmas, and it will be a cracking read. He's probably already started reading, because he has an amazing work ethic. So you look at him, you think he's probably a bit lazy. He's not. He's a very hard worker in terms of things that he's interested in. And so the book is on the way. He's not yet 60, I think he's in the mid-late 50s. So he's got another one or two careers ahead of him, and he's not going to suddenly retire to Provence and you know, drink rosé every afternoon. He's going to do other things, whether it's retiring from the House of Commons or whatever. There's so much more for him to do, and he will want to do.
Okay. Senator James McGrath, thank you for making yourself available this afternoon. We appreciate you chatting with us.
Anytime. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.